The reading this morning is from the first chapter of Acts, verses 7 to 9. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he said this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
Good morning, church. I am genuinely surprised there are so many people here on Memorial Day weekend. I thought it would be five of us worshiping really, really hard. But I'm excited to be with you guys. As Marcy said, my name is Richard. I am the lead pastor, along with my wife, Demetra, of Legacy Brooklyn. We are a brand new church plant in Brooklyn. Yes, thank you guys. We're excited, yes. We launched this fall. Our grand opening is September 15th, so just be praying for us and that God will keep on bringing us people and resources and just making an impact in our community. But before we go any further, let me just pray and then we'll get started. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, we could have been anywhere, but you have us here this morning. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that we can come here and worship you freely, Lord. There's so many places in the world where we are persecuted for our faith. Lord, and here we get to come and worship you freely. Lord, we ask that you to open up our hearts, open up our eyes, to help us see things the way you see them, Lord. Lord, bless this time, bless this church, and bless this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's a super short scripture, right? And so here's what happened. I'm going to be really with you, real with you guys. Don't judge me. Is I had a sermon prepared. And I was like, this sermon is really good. It's like theologically sound. Like, I know that if my coach listened to my sermon, he would give me an A+. And then yesterday morning, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit was like, "You are not preaching that sermon." And I was like, "Please, no." And so this is what happens. And so I'm in a season of my life where I'm working really hard on listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so I was just like, why? You know, like I worked all week and I studied and it was just so good. But you know what? That's not what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And so I'm gonna be obedient and listen. And so I think the reason why the Holy Spirit kind of shook things up in me is because there's something happening in our church, specifically here at Lower Manhattan Community Church, and something happening across the city that we need to talk about. Right? And we've been starting to see this thing happen across our country. And so before I get into all of that, I'm going to share a little bit of our story personally and about Legacy Brooklyn to kind of touch on this subject. And the reason I chose this passage is because the verses before this ask a question, and we often have questions, and I think Jesus' response was perfect, right? He didn't give them an answer. It was kind of like, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know. And so we had this vision to plant Legacy Brooklyn. And Demetra and I grew up there. We've lived there our entire lives. And here was our vision statement. Here was a statement that God gave us. And it was we knew it was the vision statement for our church as soon as we heard it. And it was a Brooklyn where everyone is living out the legacy of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's two things that are at the end of that vision statement. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we loved it. We knew that we were not called to just plant another traditional model cookie cutter church plant, right? We knew that God had given us a vision that sounded crazy and radical, and we knew that we were supposed to be obedient. And so here's what happened, right? We started, we went to assessment and we got approved to plant the church with a network, and we were excited, and we were part of Redeemer City to City's incubator program and fellows program. We're part of all these cohorts. And we start getting filled with all this information of what a successful church looks like, what a successful church plant looks like. And we're like, oh my gosh, this information we're getting isn't what God gave us. So we must be doing something wrong. And so we started doing things. We started having events, and we started having strategy, and we started having community groups, like every good church plant does. And we started doing outreach events, and all that was great. Right? We were talking to people, we were reaching people were showing up. We were talking to donors who love to hear about those things. They love, our donors love to hear us say we're having community group. And so we were like, man, we're doing something right. But there was this like discontent in us. Like we were not happy. We were bitter. I know it sounds weird. Like you're a church planter. Like how are you leading people and you're bitter? And it was because we were not seeing people give their life to Christ. And I know that sounds weird. Like, but Richard, your church plan in pre-launch phase, why would you expect to see people give their life to Christ early on? And it was like, well, because I believed in a God that was powerful. I believe that it doesn't matter if we were doing community group and we were meeting bi-weekly or we were doing outreach events. I believe in the power of God. But then other things started happening. We started seeing that donors weren't coming alongside us. We started seeing that certain doors were starting to close. And we were like, man, this is really weird. When we first shared our vision, everybody was on board. But now we're doing what everyone says a church plant does. We have community group. Like, that is church planting 101. You have to have missional community groups. Right? You guys have community groups here. We all know. We have strategy, right? As we sat down, listen, I worked in corporate America for 8 years. I was an executive of a $10 billion real estate company here in the U.S. So strategy was my thing. I was the operations guy. If there was a system that needed to be had, I had it. I mean, for everything, how we clean the bathrooms, you name it, we had it. How do we present the coffee? There was nothing we didn't have an operations binder for. So in planting this church, I said, oh, easy, this is going to be easy for me. I was an executive pastor of one of New York City's most largest successful churches. So strategy was easy for me. I did a residency for a year before doing this and helped that church grow to 200 people in less than 6 months. Strategy was easy for me. I seen it all with churches. And so we started feeling like we did not recognize our church plant. Right? And we started feeling like this vision that God gave us no longer fit into a church planting box that told us we were supposed to do community group and do outreach. And we did some crazy things, y'all. We went and bought an ice cream cart. And we still now, and we go out every, you know, on the weekends, and we just had a big movie night, and we give out free ice cream. Like, we thought, like, this is cool. Like, we're doing outreach. We're doing something. No church in Brooklyn has an ice cream cart. We do. All right? So that's radical. That was like outside of the church planting box. I have an ice cream cart. Now my friends in Georgia in the suburbs who are planting churches have ice cream trucks. All right? But we can't do that here in New York. And so we were talking about the Holy Spirit at our church. We were teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. But we were not walking in obedience with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about it as Christians, and we talk about, oh, Holy Spirit, fall, Holy Spirit, come, more power, more presence. But if we're real, the state of churches in America is dead. Like, let's just be real about that. And it's not a beat up on the church. And when I say the church, I mean the Big C church. And it's dead because we preach about and we talk about and we do all these programs and do all these things, but our churches are dead. And I say ours, including mine. And so again, we were preaching about this, talking to this about our people, trying to sell them on something we weren't doing ourselves. And then something happened, right? We got accepted into this cohort, this church planting cohort, and they were going to give us to participate in this cohort. And here's where my motivation was. They were going to give us $80,000 to participate. I was like, sign me up. I am there. I need to make payroll for my staff. All right? I have bills to pay. And so we signed up for this cohort. And so what I've come to realize is that God will take you out of your element to get his point across. Now, where does God take two city kids? He takes us to the mountains of Colorado, outside of my element. And this church, which we love and they're amazing friends of ours now, we're like, they want to go skiing. I'm like, I'm Puerto Rican from Brooklyn. I don't ski. Like, and so I'm emailing back and forth, like, what do I bring? Like, and they're like, just bring warm clothes and ski gear. I'm like, we don't wear ski gear in New York City. We wear Timberlands and North Faces. All right? So if you, I don't have, is that ski gear? And all my jeans are ripped because I'm like with the Hillsong fashion. So, you know, like, this isn't working out. All right? And so I had two luggages, but I was only going for 4 days. But listen, I had to be prepared. But something happened when we were out there. Something happened. Again, God takes us out of our element to reveal things to us. And so while we were there, they told this, we had not done a whole bunch of research, to be honest, about this church, that the name of this church is called Cherry Hills Community Church. And so when we, you know, the little bit of research I did do said they were a Presbyterian church. So I said, oh man, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And we show up, and honest to God, guys, I was blown away by the power of the Holy Spirit moving at this church. Presbyterian church, Holy Spirit, mind blown. And so we're there, and there's this experience that happens. They take us out, and they take us to this huge mansion up in Keystone, and there's like a movie theater in the house and a hot tub, and I'm like, this is the life. And I thought, here I go again, God, you called me to another cohort to hear again about church planting. Like, I'd rather be back with my people. I just don't want to hear this. And then the lead pastor of this church starts talking into us, and he has all these lead pastors of churches talking to us, and I'm like, wait, something is different here. These guys are not telling me how to engage my community. They're not even telling me how to make disciples. They're not telling me how they reach their community. They're telling me how they embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in their church plant. And here I am thinking, the vision that God gave me that didn't fit in a church plant box, here is this group of people that God showed me are doing it. And so while we were there, they prayed over us, and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that I never, ever had in my life. I mean, on the floor, weeping, crying, asking for more. And I was just convicted. I was like, man, here I am, a pastor, preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit, not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we left there, and we came back, and we did something really radical. We sent an email out to our core team members and our launch team, and honestly, everybody on newsletters, donors, everyone, we just was just like, God, you know what? We're going to do this thing. We're going to do it all the way. And we said, guys, we are going to stop relying on strategy. And we're going to start relying on the Spirit. We're going to stop planning and we're going to start praying. So here's what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks. We're going to cancel service. And we're not going to meet. And we're going to fast and pray for those 4 weeks. And we did that. And I sent the email out at 11 o'clock at night because I was scared to get responses. I thought, there's no way, everyone's asleep, no one's going to read this. And by the time they get up in the morning, they've gotten a dozen other emails, no problem. Immediately, my wife and I started getting text messages and responses saying, praise God. We've been waiting for this. We're with you. We thought people were going to be like, we're leaving. Because the one thing they told us is, Richard, when you start talking about revival and awakening and the Holy Spirit, be prepared to embrace controversy. Be prepared for people to leave. And we got such good feedback. And we're like, this is amazing. And so we started doing something. As a team, we started saying every Thursday, we're going to lock ourselves in a room for 3 hours and pray straight. We said our staff meetings are only going to be 1 hour every week, and the other two hours we're going to pray and learn more about prophetics. And then something started to change in the hearts of our church. Something started to change in us. But one of the things we told our people of why we were doing this is because a friend of our, you guys might know John Tyson, we worked for him for a number of years, and he shared a story about how his church had his name but no longer had his heart. And Legacy Brooklyn had our name on it, but it did not have our heart. Because our heart was to be a Brooklyn that was living out the legacy of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come back February 3rd, family. And from the time we started, when we came back to New York to February 3rd, crazy things started happening. Things that if I put all the strategy and all the effort into it, I would only see a slither happen. Doors started opening. We walked into this venue that's a co-working space, and they have a beautiful event space. And we said, we're going to walk in here, and we're going to ask them to use their space on Sundays, every Sunday. And we go, and we meet the person, and they were super nice. And then they send me a quote. And if you know anything about New York City, event space is expensive. And they send us a quote that says $6,000 just for Sundays. And I immediately responded and said, thank you so much for this, but this is way outside of our budget. And so we're getting ready to go into a worship night with Jeremy Riddle from Bethel. Yes, right, amen. And as that evening, they call us, and the representative says, hey, I spoke to the owner, who, by the way, is Jewish, and owns this building, and say he loves your story. He loves that you guys know what's going on in the community, and he wants to do something for you guys. He wants to open up the space for you guys every Sunday, but can you guys do evening service? And we were like, man, people aren't coming to church at 5 o'clock. But we had been wrestling with this for a few weeks, and we said, you know what, this is confirmation. Yes, we can do it at 5 o'clock. We're going to say yes. How much? He wants to give you guys a space for $1,500 a month for Sundays, give you guys permanent office space, 24/7 access, conference room for the kids space on Sunday, and use the space any other times you guys need. Praise God, right? Praise God. And so I was like, I'll be there tomorrow to sign the contract. But then other things started happening. And here's some things that have happened from now and February 3rd. We've had 6 salvations. We have 4 baptisms next month. We've seen healing. We've seen a woman come to our church who was supposed to came to our church on a Sunday to get surgery on the following week on Tuesday for an issue that's been a long-term issue. And we prayed over her. And she goes to the doctor the day of surgery, and they say, we do not have to do surgery. Not only don't we not have to do surgery, we're going to take you off the pain medication as well, because you don't need that no more neither, because we don't see the issue. Guys, things that with all my planning and all my strategy and all everything I have could not happen. And you know why this happened? Because the entire time we were fighting with one hand behind our back, and all of a sudden, we started praying, we started relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, we started being obedient, and things started happening that could not have happened if we would have not done that. And so that sounds great. Like, Richard, that's a great story. Great, God is moving into church. You're probably sitting there saying, Richard, I'm not a church planter. I'm never going to plant a church because you church planters are crazy. But let me say this. The testimony is only powerful because I had to first learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to respond to the Holy Spirit. I had to first embrace and believe in the power. It first had to happen to me. I had to prepare myself for the wave in order to prepare my church for the wave that's coming. And what is this wave? You're talking, you're like, what is this wave? We don't surf in New York. Maybe you're from California. Who's from California? Anybody? California? There we go. Maybe you guys surf. But the wave I'm talking about is a spiritual awakening. It's a revival that is coming. And I had to prepare myself to believe the stuff that I was getting there and preaching about the Holy Spirit. And I had lots of questions, and Jesus kept on saying, it's not for you to know when it's coming. It's not for you to know why. It's not for you to know how. And there's just a person like me, I'm very logical. Like, I need to see a plan, Jesus. Just give me something. Give me a date. Like, I will prepare for the day that the spiritual awakening is coming. I will do it, Jesus. And he kept on saying, no, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit. But you need to prepare for the spiritual awakening. And what are some things that's needed for a spiritual awakening, right? We often hear about this thing, the spiritual awakening. And guys, the things that you guys are experiencing here, I'm sure you guys probably feel, and this, we felt like this for a while, like we were isolated. We've had donors be like, we're not interested in that thing you're talking about, that spiritual awakening, that revival. We have people who visit and like, yeah, this is just, you guys sound really crazy. And you know what? I'm okay sounding crazy for the kingdom. I'm okay sounding crazy to save a soul. And the reason why I'm okay for that is because I am seeing lives transformed, not because my sermons are so good, because sometimes they are terrible. But because when the Holy Spirit comes, it's like a wrath. There's nothing you can do to stop the power. And so here's some things we need to do to prepare for a spiritual awakening. The first is prayer. I know, that's obvious, Richard, right? No, I'm telling you guys, we lock ourselves in a room every week for 3 hours as a staff, straight. We don't do anything else. We don't strategize. We don't talk. Sometimes we just sit there in silence and quiet and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. Because if you in the Bible, we see over and over, what is the commandment? What does Jesus command us in this Bible? Ask, seek, knock. How often do we ask? How often do we seek? How often are we constantly knocking and knocking and knocking? And just sitting in the presence of the Lord, just waiting. So the first thing is we have to be committed to prayer. Something I had to do in my life because I am like, I'm the type of person that I'm like, I'll get to it. I pray while I'm in the shower. I pray while I'm preparing breakfast for the kids in the morning. I pray while I'm driving them to school, while I'm like, have road rage. And that wasn't giving God my first. That was giving God what I chose was going to be there. That was just, I'm going to pray because it's the thing that I'm supposed to as a Christian. And so here's a practical thing I've done in our life. We created a schedule. And it's really weird, right, as an adult to have a schedule. We have schedules for work and we have schedules for everything. But we have a schedule where we get up and we pray together and we go to the gym together 4 times a week with us and with our staff. And then guess what? We go to office and we pray some more and we get some work done. And then we pray again at 1 o'clock. And then we go home and we do things with the kids. And then we have more time in the evening to pray before we go to bed. And we do that over and over and over and over every day. So we flooded our schedule with more time of prayer and less time of planning. Be intentional about it. Schedule something on your phone. The second thing that's needed for a spiritual awakening is praise. Right? Breakthrough is received by prayer, and it's only sustained through praise. I'm going to say that one more time. Breakthrough is received by prayer and sustained through praise. Often, we bring a half-hearted praise and worship to the altar, and then we leave on Sundays upset at the altar. We will come here, and this is nothing against any of you. I've often do this, and I had to learn how to, and worship with our hands in our pocket. And we just say, it's just not my style to worship God, to raise my hands, to sing and give everything I have. And listen, there's nothing wrong with worshiping your hands in your pocket. It's cool, right? It's New York. I remember someone told me one time, it's just not who I am. I don't lift up my hands. And I said, I guarantee you, if I provide you a brand new luxury car and gift it to you, what would you do? He said, I would run around screaming, but you won't do it for the Lord. We often stay in our place of comfortability and bring our half-hearted worship and praise to the altar and leave on Sundays feeling like, well, I'm not filled. Well, God didn't meet me. Well, but did you give it your all? Did you ask for more? And we think about worship and we think like, yeah, I show up on Sundays and I sing a song and I give and that's great. But we have to do it in every area of our life. The only way we live out the first commandment truly and wholly is through constantly praising and worshiping Jesus. The third thing that's needed for a spiritual awakening is power. And not the kind of power we can muster up and human power, but the power of God. And a friend of mine, the pastor of Cherry Hills Community Church, Shane Farmer, said this: you can be the largest church in the world, the most attractional, the best programs, and the best small group curriculums, and without true awakening, without true revival, you will make almost zero impact on the moral climate and the temperature of the city. Like I said earlier, guys, the state of our church in America is dead. And that's not a beat up on the church, but if we want to see lives changed and transformed, we need an awakening. It's uncomfortable. Listen, as a pastor, as I'm talking about this, it's uncomfortable for me. When we talk about things like the manifestations of the Spirit, I grew up in Brooklyn where what that looked like was a little bit scary to me. I didn't grow up in the church. But we need an awakening. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to not understand. God doesn't call us to understand. He calls us to be present. And so I know you guys are in a season of experiencing a lot of change as our churches. And it's scary and there's so many questions and it's beyond our understanding. And so while we were in prayer today, which I loved your prayer time before service here today, I shared a vision that I had. And this was the vision that I had. I said, this building, in my vision, had fire coming out the top of it. And not the type of fire that, like, the building's going to burn and crash. But when you think of, like, the Olympic torch fire, that big thing that they have, that the fire, like a lantern, is just constantly burning. I saw that in my vision. And then I saw something. I was like, God, what are you showing me? Why are you showing me fire? We often associate fire with the Holy Spirit. And then he showed me people walking with lanterns that were not lit. Like, why would you show me lanterns that are not lit? Because they were coming to this building to get them lit to go back out. Church, this, what's happening here at LMCC, is happening across New York City, is happening across our country. You guys are going to be the lantern that lights the fire. Embrace it. Embrace the controversy. People will often ask us, are you guys talking about that crazy Bethel stuff? And I'm like, yikes, I don't know how to answer that question. But I believe God gave me that vision coming here today because you guys are the lanterns that are going to walk up and down the streets of New York City. Embrace it. Embrace the uncomfortableness. Those three things that I gave, prayer, praise, and power, they are the three things I believe is the recipe to prepare for a spiritual awakening. Because if we're not prepared, what happens is, and this is an analogy I got, it's kind of like surfing, right? And this is my friend Shane Farmer shared this. If you surf, if you're not prepared, you'll miss the wave. Right? So the wave will either come and wipe you out and you'll miss it, or if you start paddling too early before the wave comes, you miss the wave as a whole. So for spiritual awakening, we have to prepare, start pacing ourselves. And I'm not talking about just spiritual awakening in this church. I'm talking about in our personal lives. We have to be prepared to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't something that you just think, when I thought I was prepared. And what God showed me is that, Richard, you are not prepared. You do not pray enough. You do not praise enough. So you are not prepared to receive the power that I want to give you. And so in closing, here's my two responses. There are things God is calling you to do that you alone are not capable of doing on your own. I don't know what that thing is, but there is something, a vision that God has given you. And I'm not talking about something to do at work, like, oh my gosh, I have so much work, I can't get through this. No, something that is specifically for God's kingdom. And you may think, I'm not a pastor. Well, we have to stop relegating and believing that only pastors are the ones who are called to disciple, that only pastors are the ones who have the power of the Holy Spirit, that only pastors are the ones to do the work of the kingdom. There's something that God has put in your heart that only he can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second call is maybe you're in need of a spiritual awakening. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't experienced that. Bring it to the altar and say, Jesus, I want to know about that spiritual awakening. Where do I go? Where do I start? And so in a minute, the band's going to come back up and worship, and there'll be folks in the back ready to pray with you about specifically those two things or about anything in your life that you feel like, man, I need prayer for that thing. I need healing. Maybe you don't even know Jesus, this spiritual awakening I'm talking about. You're like, this dude sounds crazy. And it does. It sounds crazy. And it's supposed to sound crazy. Because if it sounds normal, if it sounds so easy to get, it's not from God. And so we would love to pray for you. There'll be people up here in the front for communion. You can come to the front and get communion, or you can go to the back for prayer. And I'm just going to remind you of those two things again. There are things God is calling you to do that you alone are not capable of doing on your own. Maybe you're in need of a spiritual awakening. A few weeks back, we were in Colorado again. It's actually become, as a city boy, it's become one of my favorite places to go now. We did like ATVing and dirt biking, things that are so outside of my element, but it was so much fun. And one of the pastors there told us, amateur hour is over. Say, that sounds a little shady to me. Amateur hour is over. What do you mean by that? And what God revealed to me was that amateur hour is over. It's time to stop making excuses for putting him on the back burner. It's time to stop making excuses for saying, I don't want to know about the Holy Spirit. I'm cool with everyone else knowing about it. I'm cool about hearing about him. I'm cool with all those things, but I personally, we create all types of excuses. I'm scarred from the church. I'm not holy enough. Amateur hour is over, church. It's time for us to put on our big boy pants, big girl pants, skirts, right? I don't want nobody to come up to me afterwards and say, you said pants for women only. Oh, you said skirts for women only. But it's time. Amateur hour's over. And this is the call. Stop putting Jesus on the back burner. Stop relegating the Holy Spirit to the back burner. Only except for when it's convenient that you want the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you about someone so you can use it against them. Amateur hour is over. Let's do this. Let's be the church. We don't need to know, like in that scripture, we don't need to know when or how or why. Let's just prepare for it. That's my call to you guys today. Join me in prayer, church. Jesus, we want more of you. Jesus, we want more of your power. Not just when it's convenient, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would break our hearts today. Lord, that we would be deeply convicted to say that we want to walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what we see happen at Legacy Brooklyn could only happen because we first had a spiritual awakening. We first prepared ourselves. Lord, stir up something so deep in us that when we're walking through this city, people are looking at us like there is something so different about us, Lord. Lord, we want to look more like your kingdom. Lord, we want that the presence and power of the Holy Spirit overflows and radiates off of us. That people feel it when they stand next to us. That people see something on us that they cannot explain, Jesus. Jesus, prepare us. Prepare us for what you're about to do in this time. Lord, we are confessing that our spiritual lives, our spiritual awakening, we are dead, that the state of the church is dead, Lord, that we need revival, that we need awakening. Lord, when you told your disciples that you were leaving and that the Holy Spirit would come, they had so many questions. We have so many questions. Lord, but we want relationship. We know through relationship with you, through relationship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that those questions are answered. Lord, so if someone in here today is feeling spiritually dead, may they just come to the back and come for prayer. Let us commission them. Lord, if there's a vision that you've gave someone that's too big for their own, Lord, it's a vision you gave them because it's for your kingdom. And no thing is too big for you. May they come to the back and let us pray and commission them as well, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you that you left us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, Lord, which is like walking with you, except it's in the 21st century. And we get to do that, Lord. We thank you for all you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.